The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
What will tomorrow's world be like? Do you want to look into the real future, my friends? What will life be like 15 or 20 years from now? How can you really know? And how should you be preparing for some shocking changes? They are going to take place. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, what will tomorrow's world be like? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Science and technology are always coming up with futuristic ideas about a soon-coming utopia filled with all kinds of gadgets and gizmos. They think these new things will make mankind happy. But will they make man happy? Many of you know better. For you know that the gadgets we have often make us more frustrated and more unhappy than we were before, or than our parents were. We have too many things and not enough understanding, not enough love, not enough purpose for living. But there is a real solution to mankind's problems coming in tomorrow's world. It is as certain as the rising and the setting of tomorrow's sun. It is coming soon. To really understand, you need to believe what the Bible says, what the great God tells us in His inspired Word. He tells us what's going to happen. Most people don't understand that. Yet 1/4 of the Bible is prophecy. And the great God gives us understanding of what's going to happen. Listen to what God tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star shines in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You're not supposed to just come up, well, I think this and I think that. The Bible interprets itself. One prophecy helps interpret the others. And if you put those things together, as we do on this program and in our literature, and going through your Bible very clearly, you can understand that 1/4 of your entire Bible. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God tells us about the future in this 1/4 of your Bible. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And 1/4 of your Bible, 1/4 of the Word of God, as I've said, is prophecy. That's a part of the Bible, a big part of the Bible. Listen, let me give you part of this inspired word you probably never understood before. Things you were never taught in Sunday school or church. Turn to Zechariah 14. That's part of the Bible. Zechariah 14, beginning in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, the time of God's intervention in human affairs. The phrase day of the Lord is used about 30 times in the Bible, and it's talking about God's intervention at the end of this age, at the end of 6,000 years of recorded history, when God begins to intervene. And your spoils shall be divided in your midst, for I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. Is there coming another great war involving Jerusalem? Yes, there is. It's spoken of very clearly in the 21st chapter of Luke in the New Testament, and it's spoken of right here. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity. Is Jerusalem a divided city now? Of course it is. You've got the Arabs and you've got the Jews. And that's the way it's going to be. The man who wrote this book way back here, hundreds of years before Christ, he knew that. Why? Because God showed him the city of Jerusalem would be divided, and half would be divided against the other. And that's exactly the way we find it today. Half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not go into captivity. Then the Eternal will go and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle. And in that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. as Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Notice verse 9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth." Not up in heaven, when Christ comes back and shakes the nations and gathers all nations against Jerusalem, then he comes back to this earth. And of course, we weren't taught these things in Sunday school. You weren't taught about this Jesus Christ in Sunday school, were you? The Christ who's poised at the right hand of the Father, ready to come back and shake the nations and rule this earth. "So he shall be king over all the earth, and that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one." Verse 16, after describing the terrible punishment on a number of these nations fighting him, it says in verse 16, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Most of you have never heard of the Feast of Tabernacles. I grew up in mainstream Protestantism. I was president of my Sunday school class. I learned about Christmas and Easter, which are never talked about in the Bible. Look them up. They're not mentioned there. They're not there. But the Feast of Tabernacles is spoken of all the way through the Bible in a number of places. And here it says, all nations are going to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles pretty soon. If we're pioneers, if we're preparing for Christ's return and beginning to act out these things, then we'll know that Christ is going to be here, and all nations will be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. "And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, of course, in them there shall be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Eternal strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Think about the magnificent processions coming up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Think about that beautiful city, Jerusalem, as it will be again beautiful when Christ comes back. And they're going to come up for religious processions, and they'll come up for great political rallies, in a sense, to see the King of Kings here on this earth at Jerusalem. It's going to be a magnificent thing, a literal government set up in that city over there in Israel. And I've been there 3 or 4 times, and a number of you have as well. A literal city on this earth. This will be the world capital. And there will be world government, but it will be under God for a change, under Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he will rule the earth and teach the way of peace, and they will come up and worship him. Notice Micah chapter 4, if you would, at this point, and beginning, if you would, in verse 1. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days." We are in the latter days. For the first time in human history, man has the capacity to annihilate all humanity off this earth. "The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains." The mountains are major nations. The hills are smaller nations when it's used here in a prophetic sense. "And shall be exalted above the hills. And the people shall flow to it, and many nations will say, come and let us go up to the mountain, or the kingdom of God, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth." What law? All the way through the Bible, you find that God's law, the spiritual law, is spoken of as the basic law. That's the Ten Commandments. 4 commandments tell you how to love God. 6 commandments tell you how to love your neighbor. You're to honor your father and mother. That's number 1. You're not to kill. You're not to commit adultery, and so on. You're to know how to love your neighbor, how to build a sound society, how to have a happy family. All based on the Ten Commandments, and as those commandments were magnified, not done away, but magnified in the New Testament. So all nations are going to be taught God's law, and the word of the Lord will go forth from Jerusalem. "He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off." The Bible talks about Christ in his physical life very briefly, but then it talks over and over about how he is now our living high priest at God's right hand, the living active head of the Church of God, which is called the Church of God, 12 places in the New Testament, and how he is ready to come back to this earth, sent by God the Father to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with all power to shake the nations, to humble them, to help them wake up. That's the Christ the Bible speaks of many, many times. And you need to think about that Christ, not a dead Jesus in his tomb. He rose from that tomb, and he is sitting and alive now at the right hand of the Father, ready to come again in total power. That is the Christ of the Bible. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, all human beings, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I was in the Reserve Officer Training Corps back in the 1940s, and I was taught how to take a bayonet and run up and not just jam it, but twist it so the guts come out quickly and you kill your enemy quickly. And our drill sergeant from the regular army kind of smiled at us. He says, "Well, you've heard it's good to die for your country, but most of you guys don't want to die, do you?" And we all, you know, young men, we're 16, 18 years old, "Oh, we don't want to die." We shook our head. He said, "Well, the key, fellas, is to help the other guy die for his country." Oh, you kill the other guy, you kill him quick. You become a trained killer. That teaching, that attitude, that whole way of life to get the other guy before he gets you is going to be changed in a few years. And you will learn to love your neighbor as yourself. You won't get him, but you will do unto your neighbor as you would have him do unto you, and you will learn how to even do that through the teaching of Jesus Christ and the resurrected saints of God who will be teachers in tomorrow's world. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Eternal of Hosts has spoken. It talks about capitalism here, not communism. Everybody has his own property. Everybody has his own possessions. And everybody is blessed. It's not going to be herded into tenement houses and little tiny apartments where you hardly have room to turn around. People are going to have property. And they're going to have expansive lives and enough property and enough land and enough equipment and trees and maybe gardens and fields where their children can get out and play. And it's going to be a wonderful way of life. And they'll learn that way of life from the resurrected saints and the living Jesus Christ who are in training now to help rule in tomorrow's world. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" That's what we're supposed to be training and learning to do. "And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Aren't you able to judge between one another? Aren't you able to learn how to be kings and priests in training now, being prepared for that? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" That's why we're here. That's what it's all about. The saints in tomorrow's world will be kings and priests, teachers, judging and helping. And serving people. Why haven't you heard all this before? Why haven't you been taught the truth about the purpose of life and about the real purpose of Christianity? Think about it. At this point, my friends, I invite you to call or write for our exciting and fully documented booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. This attractive booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. Call or write today. Just ask for your free copy of our booklet entitled 14 Signs. The operators are waiting. Call for 14 Signs now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, my friends. What will tomorrow's world really be like? We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn there again. Let's just review one of these verses. He says, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" How can Christians really prepare and learn to judge and to rule this earth under Jesus Christ? Turn to Revelation chapter 2 then, if you would. Revelation chapter 2, and God tells us here in verse 26, "He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, as I also received from my Father." Christ is going to be given rulership, and the true saints of God will be given rulership, those who overcome. If you learn to overcome, and as the Bible shows, to master yourself, to master your lusts and your vanities, if you learn to overcome the world, the pulls of the flesh, the thorns of the flesh, as Jesus described them in one parable, you get all involved in the cares of this world and put them ahead of God. And then, of course, there are people who are deceived by Satan the devil, and you have to fight and overcome him and understand that there is a battle going on. To him who overcomes, you learn to do that, and you're preparing in that way to help rule in tomorrow's world. Turn also, if you would, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. God says here, Jesus speaking in the first person, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly," are you cowardly? Think about it. Are you afraid to step out and act on new truth? Are you afraid of what others will say, what your friends will say, your business associates will say, your relatives will say? He who is cowardly, the unbelieving, people won't believe God, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral. Our whole society is filled with sexual immorality of all sorts, various kinds of perversion, various kinds of fornication and adultery as well. God hates that. And you need to realize how God hates that. That is not God's way. God made one man and one woman, and he said the two shall become one flesh. And people can't seem to get that in their heads. They don't want to get that in their heads. And so they get into all of this idiocy today, which is wrong and hurting them and destroying our society. But God says those who are sexually immoral, sorcerers, dabbling, of course, in the horoscopes and going to various seances and with all these people and spiritism and idolaters, those who worship pictures of God and idols and statues, and all liars, people who lie, and people who say, even as I've said before, get up and preach and say, "The Bible says," and the Bible does not say that at all. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Of course, the rest of the New Testament shows that if you repent of sin, if you repent of some of these things, God will forgive you. But if you keep on going that way, he will not. And so you have to be an overcomer and overcome all these things that are described here. Let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 8, if you would. Hebrews chapter 8. And you find here in the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews something that, again, most people just do not understand at all. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, the inspired writer of Hebrews is talking about Jesus Christ in the new covenant. And he says, "But now he," Christ, "has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is mediator of a better covenant." The new covenant is a better covenant, which is established on what? Different laws? And God's Ten Commandments are nailed to the cross? No, 1,000 times no. It does not say that. It never says anything like that in the New Testament. The new covenant is established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for the second, because finding fault with them. He's talking about God's people. Finding fault with the people, not with his own law. His spiritual law is wonderful. But finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel," notice, "and with the house of Judah." Here is interesting, something very interesting, which many of you do not understand. Israel and Judah are two separate peoples. And so he talks about the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And all of them will be one people in the world tomorrow, as I've explained to you. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Eternal. Ancient Israel did not obey God's law. They did not obey God's covenant, so they were cut off for that time, and so on. For this is the covenant, verse 10, that I will make with the house of Israel, all the house of Israel, including the Jews, after those days. I will put my laws, what? That's right. He's not going to just put sentimental ideas in our head about just loving Jesus, and that's all. He says, I will put my laws, plural, in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God will literally put His Ten Commandments in our minds and hearts. God's law and God's way will permeate our thinking. We will think, how can I apply the principle to love the eternal God with all my heart and all my strength and all my mind? How can I honor my father and mother? How can I refrain not only from murder, but even having the spirit of murder, as Jesus described that we're to do? How can I refrain not only from adultery, but as Jesus said back in Matthew 5 and verse 28, He said, he that looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. And yet most of our Hollywood movies and TV movies and film and all these funny shows come out cheapening sex, cheapening marriage, showing half-naked women running around, showing young men and women living together in apartments together without being married as though that's normal. That is not normal. That was never normal for the first 6,000 years of human experience. But now they're trying to make it that way, these Hollywood characters. That's wrong. And you've got to be learning and thinking the way of God if you're going to be a king and a priest in the world tomorrow. Then the resurrected saints will teach people the laws of God. They will teach people the way of God under the direction of the living Jesus Christ. Christ is alive today, my friends. Our Savior who died for us is coming back to this earth soon to straighten it out and to save us from ourselves. A real new world order will be instituted under Christ's leadership. Again, my friends, be sure to call or write us immediately and request your free booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. This powerful booklet tells you step by step what is really going to happen in world affairs. So call now and request this booklet, 14 Signs.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
From one end of the Bible to the other, God describes tomorrow's world, His coming kingdom of God. Again and again, God tells us and tells true Christians that the saints will be ruling in Christ's soon coming government on this earth. That's what He tells us. Not that we're to float around all time, all over heaven with nothing to do, but the saints will be rulers. They will be kings and priests. A real government is coming. Your future is going to be far more exciting than most of you have understood if you will obey God. It could be traumatic otherwise, but if you're willing to do what your Creator says, it can be very wonderful. There'll be traumatic times ahead, but you need not fear. Notice what the great God tells us back in Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel chapter 7 and beginning in verse 21. Daniel describes the time of the end here, and he says, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. He's talking here about a bad guy, a false religious leader who causes the saints to be persecuted, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. Notice, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Yes, the true saints of God are going to govern every nation on this earth. Thus he said, the fourth beast, he's been describing the big ruling world-ruling empires, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. He had first the Babylonian Empire, as most of you have heard us explain back in Daniel 2, then the Persian Empire, the Greco-Macedonian Empire, and now this fourth great world-ruling empire, the Roman Empire, different. And it shall devour the earth, trample it in pieces, and break things. Of course, it was a very destructive empire in many ways. And the ten horns, he describes, are ten kings who rise from this kingdom. And another shall rise after them, in other words, after their manner, and it shall come up and be different from the first ones, and subdue three kings. When the Roman Empire was revived in 554 under Justinian, why, this false power came along with it and enabled the Roman Empire to crush the Vandals, Heruli, and the Ostrogoths, who had come along with smaller kingdoms and revivals. And this little horn caused them to be subdued. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High and persecute the saints of the Most High. And he shall intend to change times and laws. This is a religious power, when you understand it, which was to change times and laws and change God's Sabbath and God's laws regarding time. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time, the great tribulation. But the court shall be seated, they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom and of the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. God's saints shall rule. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. How can you prepare to be part of this? Really study your Bible and learn the mind of God, and pray with all your heart that God will help you prepare. You've got to surrender, my friends, to let Jesus Christ live his life in you. And if you will do that and have the courage to learn, to change, to grow, you can be there in God's coming government on this earth. So again, be sure to write or call for this booklet, 14 Signs. We want you to have it. And be sure to tune in next time. Richard Ames and I will explain to you the purpose of life. We will explain to you prophecy and then what life is all about in a way you don't get on any other program. So take time, make time to tune in to Tomorrow's World every single week. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.